540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The U.S. House is on track to take a vote on whether to raise the debt ceiling and avert default. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
Tonight, we might come together to do something very big for this nation. Don't mistake it that it's the solution. It's the beginning.
Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries supports the bill and takes aim at far-right Republicans.
President Biden understood, despite the hostage-taking situation that you will necessarily thrust the country into, that we had an obligation, a responsibility, to avoid a catastrophic default.
Ron DeSantis kicks off his bid for the White House in Iowa with five stops in 24 hours. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Most Iowans remain undecided, but those we spoke to were familiar with his record as governor, thanks to several moves that garnered national attention. New laws restricting access to abortion, expanding gun rights, and the so-called Don't Say Gay law that prompted a fight with Disney.
I like DeSantis' policies based on what he's done for Florida.
Governor Ron DeSantis has put action to words.
With a massive campaign war chest and a super PAC already knocking on thousands of Iowa doors, DeSantis is working to cut into former President Donald Trump's sizable lead.
Two sources familiar with the matter confirmed to CBS News that special counsel investigators in the Mar-a-Lago documents case have an audio tape of former President Trump acknowledging he held on to a classified document after he left office. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
The sources said Trump acknowledges there are national security restrictions on the memo that detailed potential plans to attack Iran. One source said that Trump stated he should have declassified the record before leaving the White House.
The U.S. is sending another $300 million in military aid to Ukraine. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
To provide Ukraine with additional munitions for Patriot air defense systems, which Ukraine has been deploying quite effectively, as well as more Avenger air defense systems, Stinger anti-aircraft systems.
We're often told that less is internet usage, the better, but it may not be the case when it comes to older adults and the risk of dementia. CBS's Matt Piper.
A study of more than 18,000 adults between 50 and 65 finds that internet usage may help to develop and maintain cognitive reserve, which can in turn compensate for brain aging and reduce the risk of dementia. NYU professor Virginia Chang is one of the researchers behind this study.
We found this sort of unexpected U-shaped relationship where using it not at all was not good for you, and using it too much was also not good for you either. So there seems to be this sweet spot somewhere between 1 and 2 hours.
This is CBS News.
Hiring's a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt-Mayer. Here's what you need to know. A group of Republican lawmakers introducing a bill to alter Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban. It would increase the penalty for performing an abortion while clarifying medical procedures to save a pregnant woman's life. Attorney General Josh Call and a group of doctors are suing to overturn that 1849 ban. They say a 1985 law allowing abortions up to the point of viability takes precedence. The case is expected to come before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The risk of fire danger is high in most of Wisconsin until we finally get more rain. The Department of Natural Resources and local fire departments have responded to more than 90 wildfires in just the last week. In sports, the Blue Jays beat the Brewers last night by a score of 7-2. I'm Jane Matt-Mayer. This is Civic Media News.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
And we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Alabama.com, they tweeted out today, due to recent statements by the dumbest guy in the U.S. Senate promoting racial stereotypes, white nationalism, and other various controversial topics, I feel compelled to distance myself from his ignorant, hateful rants. That would be Charles Tuberville, the brother of the dumbest guy in the U.S. Senate, Tommy Tuberville. So he lost his brother. His brother is leaving him in the dust, distancing himself from the dumbest man in the Senate. This is, while simultaneously, the dumbest man in the Senate losing his top national security advisor because, well, the dumbest guy in the Senate is holding up a whole bunch of military nominations that military leaders are saying not making us safer, actually making us look weaker and potentially putting us at risk. And here to share some thoughts on this attack by the Tubervilles and the right on our military, I've asked our good friend Rich Ojeda to come talk with us. Rich is the national spokesman and founder of the Turn Left Pack, also hosts a nightly Facebook and YouTube live show. Rich, thanks for taking time to talk for us.
Man, I always enjoy being on your show, man.
So I got to get your thoughts. I'm looking at Tuberville, who I've affectionately called the dumbest man in the Senate. I look at someone like Ron DeSantis, who has said that the military is woke. That's his word. The military is woke. We're weaker than we've ever been. It's not the military that I was in. Thoughts?
Well, first off, I don't want to hear Ron DeSantis talk about the military that he was in, because that guy was the urinalysis coordinator. So that was his main topic that he was given when he was in the military. You know, I mean, it's a shame. I can't stand to see these people talk smack about the military. Our military is in fine shape. Our military, you know, for the most part, most people in the military, they don't play politics. You know, they do their job. Everybody has a job in the military, and that's what you're supposed to do. And when I see these people trying to attack the military, saying that the military is woke, first off, these are people that, you know, have never really picked up a rifle and manned a post. And if they did, they never done anything. I'll tell you right now, Ron DeSantis was a military lawyer. And, you know, Ron DeSantis did what many people do that go and get a law degree. They look at the military and say, hey, will you pay my college debt off? And I owe you 3 years in the military. And he was in the, you know, the reserves. And of course, he got to go to he went to Iraq for a short period of time. And then he was also in Guantanamo Bay. But I mean, let me tell you something. That guy right there doesn't have enough time. He ain't never put his boots on enough spots to be able to talk anything about our military. And that's an absolute fact. But these people are just clueless.
I want to get your thoughts on his statement. He says, I see a lot of emphasis on political ideology, things like gender pronouns. He says, I see a lot of things about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. And I think that's causing recruiting to plummet. He says, I think it's driven off a lot of warriors, and I think morale is low. There's a lot of I thinks there. Any reality?
No, I think that's absolute garbage. Our military is absolutely fine. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, just realize we've come off of 20 years of being at war. And, you know, there's no soldiers out there. Very rarely will you find a soldier right now that's only did one combat tour. For the most part, everybody's done 4, 5, 7. I mean, our troops have been going nonstop and they've been doing their job. You know, and to have somebody like, you know, Ron DeSantis or anybody else say anything at all that's different is actually a disservice to our men and women in uniform. You know, in the military, you know, you learn that it doesn't matter what that person to your left and right, doesn't matter what color their skin is, it doesn't matter who they pray to. The only thing that matters is that when it hits the fan, you can trust that person to be there by your side. And that's what's going on in our military, and it works well. I don't like when I see these people talk smack about our military. And Ron DeSantis has no business to open his pie hole and speak about our military. You know, first and foremost, that guy right there, you know, he's not a good person. And he has literally destroyed Florida. I mean, right now in Florida, the farmers are going under. Construction has come to a dead stop. You know, and all he's doing is making that state worse. And people are leaving Florida. And if that's the way we want our country to be, if we want our country to be looking the same way as Florida, then make stupid mistakes and go down that path and put Ron DeSantis in power. Because let me tell you something, that guy right there is a hazard to our country. He's a hazard to our democracy.
Yeah, but I'm not just looking, it's not just DeSantis who's saying these things. There's a lot of Republicans who, you know, in the past, the Republicans, whenever they saw a soldier, it was, hey, quick, photo op, get a flag and a soldier, we'll take a picture. Now you're seeing, look at Tommy Tuberville, you know, holding up nominations. You know, there's just so much of this stuff that I'm concerned that because of which hat you wear, we're making ourselves look weaker and projecting problems that aren't there just for to score political points.
It's all political. They literally don't know anything other to do than to obstruct anything and everything that they can basically make it painful. That's what they do. You know, Tommy Tuberville, you know, has power to hold, you know, these promotions back. But at the end of the day, he's just doing it because he wants to do it. I mean, to me, it's a shame. It's absolutely a disservice to our men and women in uniform when these people do the things that they do. And once again, they want to make everything political. Our military doesn't need to be political, you know, and it doesn't. And it's a shame because that's what these people want to do.
No, it's scary stuff. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're with Richard Jetta, host of Ojetta Live, a nightly hit on Facebook and YouTube Live. You can check that out. 8 p.m., right?
Yeah, 8:30.
8:30 daily. You can check that out. Also, he's the founder and national spokesperson for the Turn Left Pack, turnleftpack.org, the website, if you want to take a look at that. I got to get your thoughts on the debt ceiling thing here. It passed overwhelmingly, and everyone knew it was going to. A lot of 71 Republicans voted against it. I was surprised it got to that number. I thought it would be like 40 or 50. Any thoughts on the deal?
Well, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that, you know, when these things happen, a lot of people in this country doesn't understand how it works. But when something like this happens, a lot of people will come out and they will explain the importance and why things are the way that they are. And at the end of the day, this is the right thing to do. No matter who you are, you can be a Trump supporter all you want, but we need to understand that the debt ceiling was raised to pay the bills that were run up under Donald Trump. And, you know, people need to know that. And of course, you're going to have some people that are going to, you know, vote against it, because at the end of the day, that's what they want to see, chaos. They want us to absolutely go in default. They want veterans to go without health care. They want Social Security checks and to stop, because in their mind, they're thinking, if we make, you know, everything really, really bad for the people, then maybe we can blame it on the Democrats and then they will elect us. But that's what the Republicans are doing.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is when you call these people out and people actually take the time to watch, they see that that's what they're doing. And at the end of the day, they kind of realize that, you know, they may be cutting their own throat here. You know, I mean, it's I'm glad that they come to that point and it was raised. And I think they had a deal where it's not going to even be in conversation yet for another 2 years. So, I mean, this was a big win. It was a big win for President Biden. I think that President Biden is doing a great job. I think that, you know, he's already reduced the deficit by $1.4 trillion. I'm thinking, let's give him another 4 years and let's see what else he can do.
Yeah, no, I do find it interesting that Sleepy Joe whipped McCarthy. Because look, you know, McCarthy himself said, you know, Social Security and Medicare were not even on the table, although they're going to set up a commission because they're going to go back after it. But I just find it interesting that, you know, that Sleepy Joe got the best of him.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I think people just need to start, you know, the thing that bothers me is I see people all the time that are just not paying attention. They don't know how things work. And, you know, it's like the poor Republican. You know, you do realize that, you know, you're voting Republican, but the Republican Party doesn't care about you. The Republican Party is using you for your votes, but they're not going to do anything for you. You know, when Donald Trump won the presidency, even though he tried to act like he was going to be down there with all the good old hardworking people, the first thing he did was give the largest tax cut break to the top, you know, filthy richest people on the planet. And once again, that's what they do. That's what a Republican president does every time they win office. And, you know, people need to start realizing this. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm looking forward to the next couple months because I think that hopefully Jack Smith is going to put a daggone fork in Donald Trump and say he's done.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. But, you know, we can argue about that. I don't see Trump spending a day in jail. I think he'll be indicted. But I think he right now nomination for him.
You know,
is.
I'm going to tell you, Rick, I felt the same way. But I'm really starting to think, you know, now that they've got video, they've got voice recordings of Donald Trump absolutely stating that he's got classified documents, you know, even was talking. He wanted to show them to people. I mean, I think the classified document stuff is going to get him.
He's going to
be charged and he's going to be found guilty of espionage. And remember, Jack Smith now is getting the recordings of the conversations that he had with Saudi Arabia, with Russia, with Turkey, with the United Arab Emirates. And I'm going to tell you, I think they're going to be able to prove that Donald Trump basically just used the presidency to try to pad his pockets.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I just don't think he spends a day in jail. But we'll see. But I got to get your thoughts. My congressman, Scott Pardon Me Perry, he said he was against the debt deal. In fact, he was angry at the, quote, swampy Republicans who were behind the deal. But his argument was he doesn't believe that we would have defaulted. He doesn't believe that anything bad would have happened. Said Janet Yellen, thought Janet Yellen was a liar. That none of reality is reality.
Well, then tell me something. Then how come he didn't raise a fuss when Donald Trump was in office and they raised the debt ceiling three times? You know, I mean, that's the thing is he's absolutely clueless. And let me tell you something. He's not clueless. He knows exactly what would happen. He's just basically trying to say that to try to act like, you know, that certain Republicans were wrong and that the Democrats were wrong. But at the end of the day, you know, by allowing us to go in default would be horrific for our country. It would tank our, you know, our currency. I mean, you know, these are people that are supposed to be, you know, elected to represent the people and are supposed to be doing what's best for America. And it's really sad when you see these people working together to literally try to destroy this country, all in the hopes that they will be the ones that will grab the rebound and then run with it.
No, it's frightening.
We deserve better.
Finally, I want to get your thoughts on, I'm sure you saw the story yesterday of Tara Reid, you know, heading off to Russia. The tweet of the day coming from Matt Gaetz. who tweeted out several weeks ago, I guess it was, breaking weeks ago, MTG, Trainwreck Green Woman, and I had the opportunity to interview Tara Reid. I found her to be one of the most credible witnesses I have ever interviewed in the practice of law or during my time in Congress. Thoughts?
Honestly, I haven't been up on that.
You know who Tara Reid is, right?
It hit me.
Okay, Tara Reid was the one who accused Biden of sexual abuse in a hallway in the Senate while he was in the Senate. She was one of the people who was trying to sue him and try and take him to court and do all kinds of stuff. Nobody bought it. Not even the right wing bought it. Outrage merchants bought it.
She's going to Russia?
Now she and Maria Butina evidently have they've gone over to Russia, and I can only assume that Putin's going to march her around as Biden's victim and as a propaganda arm. I just thought you might have a thought.
Well, in terms of anything with Russia, I think that it's almost over. I think that it amazes me that Vladimir Putin is still in power. They are now getting ready to break the 210,000 KIA's soldiers. Wow. Right now, Ukraine is absolutely starting the spring offensive. And right now they're talking about countries that border Russia that are now looking at other lands in Russia as if they may want to go and take that land back. I think Russia is upside down. And if anybody goes over to Russia, Vladimir Putin will use it in a way to try to make himself look good. And at the end of the day, the way I look at it, if they're over there with Vladimir Putin, who the entire world begged, please do not invade the sovereign nation of Ukraine. If they're over there right now working with Putin and allowing him to paint a picture for them that they think they're going to bring back here to the United States and use it to try to hurt our country, to try to hurt Biden, let me tell you something. I look at that as treason, as far as I'm concerned, and they should be treated accordingly.
I'm right there with you. I'm being of the age that I am, growing up at the end of the Cold War, I cannot believe there are people who are siding with Putin in this country right now. It's outside of my ability to understand.
But see, that's how the Republicans use the poorly educated, because it's the poorly educated that run with this garbage. I was talking to a guy that I served in the military with the other night, and for two solid hours on my back porch, I was literally telling him, dude, you've got to get your head out of your fourth point of contact and start doing some daggone research. Because once again, that's what his thought was, Biden's doing the wrong. I mean, really, take 5 minutes and read something, anything. I don't care. Amazing.
There you go. Rich, as always, entertaining. I appreciate the time. Great stuff. Hope folks will check out Ojeda Live, 8:30 weeknights on Facebook and YouTube Live. Also, check out the turnleftpack.org website, where Rich is the national founder and national spokesperson of Turn Left Pack. Rich, as always, great stuff. Appreciate the time.
Hey, anytime, brother. Just let me know.
Our good friend Rich Ojeda. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Go take a quick break. Right back. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Mark Wayne Mullen, Oklahoma Senator. I love the fact that Mark Wayne hits on these important points. He tweeted out today, if you take out a loan, you pay it back. A student loan is no different from a house or a car loan. Taxpayers shouldn't be forced to foot the bill. Student debt transfer is reckless and unfair to 87% of Americans who never took out loans or responsibly paid them back. You know where this is going, right? Mark Wayne, pandemic, PPP loan, didn't pay it back. This is one of those things where you just go, the hypocrisy is strong with this one. And we're talking a lot of, it's the same thing with Marjorie, three names. Same thing. They got these PPP loans, don't have to pay them back. But, you know, those people who they took out college loans, because they were told it's the only way you're going to get into the middle class. It's the only way you're going to be able to have a decent life. And look, going to college still is a reasonable proposition. You still make more money over the lifetime, even if you are saddled with a bunch of student loan debt. But as a country, we should do better. And look, my generation was really the first to get screwed in this. My parents' generation, my grandparents' generation, you know, when they got back from World War II, the GI Bill covered a lot of it. College for people who are a little bit older than me, you know, you could get by working a part-time job and still have a crummy apartment, a jalopy of a car. You could get through. Try that today. And we're at a time now where education is more important than ever. And as I said yesterday on the show, I think we should be looking at not just K-12, but K-14. We should be looking at vo-tech training for 2 years, community college, you know, some kind of training, some kind of apprenticeship, some kind of additional education that's funded to where you don't have to bet the farm or skin in the game, as our Republican friends love to say, that it's an investment in the country's future. Not who's willing to go deepest in debt, not who's willing to take out massive loans. And you look at the money that's being made off of this by the private sector. This is the part that gets me. And as I said from the beginning in all this, there are ways to do this that are fair for everyone. There are ways that are equitable, that are reasonable. I'm a believer if you took out $10,000 in student loan money, you pay $10,000 back. I think the federal government could buy up the loans and administer them for a very low fee and have people pay them back over a period of time. But what's interesting is people that I know who have had student debt for years have gotten jobs, lost jobs, back and forth, missed payments. And by the time you figure it out, the amount of money that they've racked up in fees and interest and late payments and breaks in payments and all of this stuff has run up their debt. You know, the one person, you know, was telling me they graduated, I think they graduated like 10 years ago, and they paid for, you know, intermittently because they kept getting jobs, losing jobs back and forth. And after 10 years of making payments, they had paid nothing on their principal. They were right where they started from because the interest rates were high, the penalties were high. And you go, you're never getting out from under it. So for me, the reasonable thing to do in this moment, okay, we buy up all the student loans, we charge a 1% 2%, whatever it costs to administer, and you pay back what you borrowed. That's fair. We take the profit motive out of this. If it's an investment in the country's future, this is the way forward. This way you don't get people who are whining, go, well, my generation didn't get this. And people who are complaining that, hey, I didn't go to college because I didn't want to take on the debt. Fair enough. This seems to be a rational way forward. That's why we're not going to do it. That's why the Mark Waynes of the Wayne Mullins of the world are like, screw those people. I got mine. The heck with that. Yep. That's our GOP. Right back after this. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1987. That was the day that Rose Will Monroe, one of the women who came to be known as Rosie the Riveter, died in Clarksville, Indiana. She was 77 years old. Rose had gone to work in a factory making B-52 bombers in Ypsilanti, Michigan during World War II. She was one of thousands of women in the United States who entered the industrial workforce to support the war effort, while more and more men entered the armed forces. While Rose Will Monroe worked at the factory, the image of Rosie the Riveter was already becoming perhaps one of the most iconic symbols of U.S. labor. The nickname Rosie the Riveter was first used in a song in 1942. The song was inspired by another real-life Rosie. Rosalind P. Walter worked during the war building Corsair fighter planes. Along with the song, a popular poster showed Rosie with a red kerchief tied around her hair, sleeves rolled up, arm muscles flexed, showing the strength of women workers. We Can Do It was emblazoned across the top of the poster. Then, an actor by the name of Walter Pigeon visited the Ypsilanti factory. He was helping to make a promotional film to support the war effort at home. When he found out there was a real Rosie who worked as a riveter in the plant, he recruited her for the film. The image of Rosie the Riveter lives on as a symbol of labor and women's empowerment.
All the day long, whether rain or shine, she's a part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory. Rosie the Riveter keeps a sharp lookout for sabotage. Sitting up there on the fuselage, that little frail can do more than a male can do. Rosie the Riveter. Rosie
Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and the Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
Do mass protests matter anymore? Even when large numbers turn out with a high level of outrage directed at abusive corporate or governmental elites, the powers that be usually just hunker down and wait for the fury to pass. But the one form of protest that actually gets to even the most aloof elite is cultural caricature. In recent decades, the creative deployment of giant puppets, satirical songs, pop-up parodies, and other forms of social mockery has pierced the ego shields of haughty corporate chieftains and puffed-up politicos. They ignore angry speeches, but public ridicule stings them personally, energizing the larger community. Consider how common household utensils can rally the people's discontent, rattle the establishment, and deliver a message of revolutionary protest. In recent years, mass rebellions armed with nothing but kitchenware have noisily made their points in such disparate places as Chile and Iceland. And today, the people of France are bedeviling their country's aristocratic wannabe, President Emmanuel Macron, with a ceaseless mass clanging of skillets, saucepans, spoons, and other plebeian cookware brought from their French kitchens into the streets of every region. They are protesting the president's imperious decision to undercut their pensions, as well as his tone-deaf refusal even to hear their complaints. So their voice has become the incessant banging of pots. Now, Macron can't go anywhere without being greeted and often drowned out by the cacophony of casserolade, the saucepan movement. The protest is driving Macron crazy, which seems to be a very short ride for him. Clearly irritated by the commoner's cleverness, his government is now using anti-terrorism laws to ban, quote, the use of portable sound devices in protests. This is Jim Hightower saying, the crazier he gets about pots and pans, the louder people laugh at their leader.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Got an email from Betty. She says, Rick, I hate the fact that the GOP got anything. It is outrageous that they can hold us hostage whenever they want. This should be something we remember in 2024. Look, I agree, Betty. Honestly, you know, this is something that I'm hoping working people will remember. Look, this was this agreement, and this is where my mind is. My agreement is this is necessary. I don't want to see the economy tank. Recession is horrible for Democrats in 2024. It's horrible for working people because of the job losses and all of the things that come with recession. Not great. But I'm hoping in this moment that you know, whichever side of the whichever hat you wear, the red hat or the blue hat, the reality is that they were targeting the hard hats. They were targeting working people. And I'm hoping that working people wake up to the reality that they were nothing but bargaining chips for Republicans in this whole debacle. That they were willing to throw working people under the bus. They were willing to throw you and me under the bus to feed their political aims. And look how quickly they were willing to do it. You got all these anti-worker politicians who are just, you know, we don't care about you or your family or your community. We care about our extremist ideology. This, we're going to feed the very wealthy. Because you didn't hear them talking about cutting things to the very well-to-do, did you? No. We're going to cut food programs from the poorest of the poor. We're going to kick granny off of, we're going to go after her and her Social Security check. I mean, let that sink in for a minute. And no matter where you are in the working class scale, whether you're at the top of it and you've got a couple of checks in the bank and you're able to weather a couple of month storm, or you're like most people living paycheck to paycheck, they were willing to throw all of us under the bus to get their ideological position pushed through, which is more for the very well-to-do and the powerful and less for working people. It comes down to something that simple. And look, this will be an issue in 2024. It most certainly will be. Because honestly, they didn't get much. I mean, this is the thing. They got something, and it's going to hurt some people. There are people who are going to suffer from this. Now I get attacked. Well, you want to give every. No, I don't want to give out everything, but I do believe that you have to have a safety net that helps the least among us. You know, growing up in the Catholic Church in the 70s and 80s, it was one of those. They were still on the peace and social justice kick. They were still talking about, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself. They were still reaching hands out into poor communities. Their priests were still walking picket lines with striking workers. That was still going on. Now the Catholic Church made this really rightward shift, and it's all about the abortion issue, which will be a 2024 issue as well, without question. And I look at another one of these stories. You know, there's a woman in Tennessee. Evidently, she had started taking contraception, then found out she was pregnant, and there's a whole story going back and forth. And, you know, they were excited. They were going to have another child. You know, this is great. And what ended up happening is this woman ended up having what they're calling a life-saving emergency hysterectomy, which basically ended her chance of ever having children again. Because, as she put it, she was denied a medically necessary abortion care in Tennessee. And, you know, she said, you know, my doctor told me I needed to do the surgery. If I didn't do it, I could die, and the baby could die, and all this. And she's put into all these horrible situations. They take the baby C-section. They end up, you know, hysterectomy, all kinds of stuff. And what this woman's talking about is her life was like torture. And again, this is because these laws are put into place that really do put doctors in a defensive situation. And they're not going to risk their lives and their licenses and this stuff for some woman who, well, you know, you know. this is where you go, bad policy puts people in bad positions. If this woman had been able to get the care that she needed at the beginning, they wouldn't have ripped her insides apart. They wouldn't have performed a really, and I don't know a lot about this, but I got to imagine a pretty radical surgery for a 30-something woman, a 32-year-old woman. This is where I keep coming back to policymakers who have an ideological, theocratic agenda should not be making policies for people across the political spectrum. Said before, I'm not in favor of abortion, personally, but they should be safe and legal. And they should be the option for a woman and her doctor to pursue. Not some angry old white guy who's well past his ability, who has some God complex. And the weird thing is you look at a lot of these states that are passing these laws. It's getting worse for women in those states because those doctors who do this stuff are leaving. South Carolina, we talked about, you know, the other day, where I think in 14 counties, there are zero doctors who specialize in OBGYN. And in five others, I think there was one doctor in each county. So in 19 counties in the state, you've got five doctors. Sorry, there are more people, more women giving babies, having babies, more women pregnant in there than that. And that's kind of what this is about. It's about the chaos. As I said before, the chaos is the point. The inhumanity is the point. The cruelty is the point. Now, the right will say, well, this was a success. It's a wild success. Because, well, you know, the baby was delivered by cesarean. The mother lived. Success. Except that this woman was basically ripped apart. But that doesn't matter in conservative world. And this, for me, is the weird spot that we're in. They didn't have that choice. And the thing is I don't want to talk about these stories. This isn't my world. But this is where we're heading. These are the people who are being affected now. This is where the fire is now. This is where the harm and the damage is happening now. What happened to our conservative friends who used to believe in less intrusive, limited government? What happened to personal liberty? What happened to mind your business? And I come back to, you know, as I started off earlier, the reality is it's not about making a better society. Because look, if it really were truly about we care about the children, if it really were about you know the best community possible, there'd be policies doing this. They wouldn't be seeking to cut and gut food stamp programs. They wouldn't be going after and slashing and burning Medicaid programs, which, understand, in this country, Medicaid pays for almost, well, I think over half of all children born. If you were truly pro-child, if you were truly pro-life, prenatal care would be front and foremost. There would be some Christian conservative out there going, hey, you know what? We need to make sure that these babies get the best care that they can get so we can bring them in the world and make them healthy citizens and educate them and make them good, productive parts of society. That's not what they're saying at all. Not even a little bit. And this debt ceiling fight is part of that. we're going to force you to have children that you can't afford, you don't want, and you're not capable of caring for, but we're not going to help you along the way. Not going to help you get the skills, not going to help you get the care, not going to help you get the education, not just for yourself, but for your kids, or the health care, or any of that. Not going to do any of that. You're on your own. Once the kid pops out, that's you. It's all on you. Please, someone tell me, where in this country are Republicans leading a charge to make sure that the children that we're forcing being born are going to get the care, the health care, the education, the food, the housing? Where are we going to make sure that that happens? Where is that bill? Where is that conservative Christian who's out there, you know, pounding that book that they love so much? Where is it? Where are they at? Because I would love to talk to the sponsor of that bill. Because I would sign on to it. Here's the thing. I grew up at a time in my neighborhood, cupboards were empty. People were desperate. I don't want any kid to have to grow up like that. I don't want any kid to have to go without. I don't want any parent to have to look in their child's eyes and know that there's no way they can feed them because there's no help there. There's no job available. I'm not against work requirements if there's work available. And I get idiots going, well, there's job openings. We know there are reports already that a lot of these companies put jobs out for bid, that there are no jobs just so they look better. So they look better for the shareholders going, hey, we got all these job openings. We're growing. And they never seem to hire anybody. Pardon my frustration, but we can and should and must do better. And if you're not going to be part of the solution, if you're going to continue to be like, well, the extreme right in this country, we got to move on without you. And please, the sane, the rational, the silent majority who's absorbing this stuff and shaking their heads and going, I can't believe we're going through this again. You got to act. You got to join together. Together with other silent, sane,
are listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.